Chris Connolly, I want to start back in 2013 with a moment that I think a lot of sports fans will remember seeing.
In the spring of 2013, a young 7-year-old boy who had been battling a brain tumor did a remarkable thing.
Chris Connolly is a reporter for ESPN.
He ran 69 yards for a touchdown in the Nebraska intra-squad game that spring.
Hoffman to midfield. Hoffman, second level.
He's got another gear.
They are not going to catch him.
The sight of this young boy with the football tucked under his arm, being ushered into the end zone by both offense and defense from the Cornhuskers, and celebrating his touchdown and then being carried off the field on the shoulders of the Cornhuskers to a packed house was one of those pieces of video that I think just really sticks in people's minds. You felt it in your heart just watching it.
Tell me what's going through your head when you get the ball. What are you thinking about?
Scoring a touchdown.
Back in 2013, I talked to that young boy and his family. And as 2020 came around, there was a dramatic transformation in that family's story. So we reconnected once again with that family and told what is now a very different story. A grave story, but a story that still has a great deal of inspiration.
It is V-Week at ESPN, the time of year when we honor the memory of Jim Valvano by raising awareness of cancer's impact on so many lives and the urgent need for cancer research. Today, the unforgettable story of Andy and Jack Hoffman, a father and son whose battle with this terrible disease embodies Valvano's immortal words, "Don't give up, don't ever give up." I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, December 9th. This is ESPN Daily. Chris, you met the entire Hoffman family for the very first time at their home in Atkinson, Nebraska, back in 2013. The father, Andy, was there, the mother, Bree, their three kids, including their son, Jack. What was your immediate impression of the family and their relationship with sports?
This is a family that really loves Nebraska Cornhusker football. And as Andy Hoffman was the first to tell you, it was part and parcel of growing up in that part of the world. You became, you know, a Cornhusker fan pretty much at birth, which is essentially what they did with their son, Jack.
His first birthday party I'll never forget, it was Nebraska played USC, and we kind of turned it into a Cornhusker party. When he was three, he could tell you who the quarterback for Nebraska was. His first game would have been shortly after he turned five. He wore a Rex Burkhead jersey.
Now, do you want to be a receiver? What do you want to play if you become a Husker? What position do you want to play?
Either a running back or the kicking person.
Now, why would you like to be a running back?
Because that's where Rex is.
So much changed for this family on April 22nd, 2011. Chris, what happened?
Jack Hoffman, the son of Andy and Bree Hoffman, came down to breakfast like he did every other day, as a 5-year-old would. Only on this occasion, he was completely non-responsive. And Bree was the first to notice and mentioned to her husband, Andy, "You know, Jack doesn't seem to be responding to me."
I woke him up. And he said something, but it was kind of gibberish. I said, "Jack, what do you want for breakfast?" And he wouldn't answer me.
I think Andy, his dad, initially felt, you know, maybe he's just playing a trick or something, and literally started like putting his hands in front of Jack's face and snapping his fingers.
I remember just getting real close to his face and just clapping my hands right in front of his nose, just as loud as I could. "Jack, Jack." And I just was, you know, yelling his name, and it wasn't registering.
It was readily apparent to them that something challenging was happening. And so they headed off to urgent care in town. And that's when this amazing medical saga that they embarked upon began.
what did they discover when they got to urgent care?
There was a serious issue regarding Jack's brain. Jack went into a 30-minute grand mal seizure while he was being examined by the physician's assistant there. And it was immediately apparent that Jack needed care that that place couldn't provide. The weather that day was so bad that they were unable to get a helicopter to rush him to the nearest hospital in Omaha. So they just got into the back of an ambulance and headed on their way to Omaha to try to get him the help he needed. In fact, the situation was so urgent that a helicopter met them half of the way there and flew Jack and Andy to the hospital where he would begin treatment. It turned out he had a brain tumor.
What goes through your heart when they tell you that?
Complete and total devastation. You don't realize you can have so many worst days of your life in a row.
So at the time, Jack is just 5 years old, Chris. How did doctors begin to treat that tumor?
Once they finally got the situation with his brain correctly diagnosed, surgery was immediately indicated. The problem was the tumor was hard to get at, and so the first surgery was unable to remove the entire tumor. And so in time, the tumor grew back and continued to cause Jack issues in terms of seizures and things like that. They would have to make the drive to either Lincoln or Omaha to get chemotherapy sessions. So he would be living in Atkinson and still going back and forth to Omaha to get the chemotherapy. And it was tough. I asked Jack in 2013, what's the hardest part about being sick?
What's the toughest thing about being sick?
The stupid puking. So I always puked in the morning after chemo like 50 times.
And so Andy, who was a lawyer in Atkinson, Nebraska, began doing research to find out where he could get the best treatment for his son. And he came upon a doctor in Boston who said that she thought she could produce a better outcome, perhaps, for Jack. Before he went to Boston for that treatment, Andy thought, you know, maybe I could just reach out to the Cornhuskers. His favorite player is Rex Burkhead. And so Andy reached out to the Cornhuskers and, you know, explained Jack's situation, and maybe Rex Burkhead could get on the phone and talk to Jack for a while. Well, instead, they got an invitation to come to Memorial Stadium, and Jack got to spend 2 hours with Rex. Jack gave Rex a wristband that said, "Team Jack, pray." And it was like a mind meld. It was a really powerful connection the two of them had and continue to have.
Just days after that visit, from Jack to Rex, Nebraska does end up hosting Ohio State at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, and Jack is watching from his hospital bed back in Boston with the rest of the Hoffman family. And what happens in that game?
Well, it's not going well at first for the Cornhuskers. They've fallen behind. And the reporter on the scene that day tells a little bit of Jack's story.
A little boy is up in Boston watching this game tonight. His name is Jack Hoffman. And Rex Burkhead is wearing a red bracelet that says, "Team Jack, pray."
And then in the course of the game, Rex Burkhead all of a sudden takes center stage.
Burkhead up the sideline! Touchdown!
And scores 2 touchdowns and leads this comeback.
Steady dose of Burkhead. Finds a seam inside the 10! Touchdown!
And says later that this greatest comeback in the history of the Cornhuskers was spurred in part by Jack Hoffman and the inspiration he had provided.
It's about 48 hours after that game, Nebraska beating Ohio State in that fashion, that we learn Jack's surgery is a success and his seizures subside. But what does his fight look like from there, Chris?
Well, the challenge is it becomes a chronic fight. The tumor is always going to be there and will eventually grow back. The hope is that it will take as long as possible.
They treat it like a chronic disease. You have a flare-up and you treat it. And what they hope for is an extended time where you don't have to do chemo. But we basically know it's going to grow again at some point.
There was a strong possibility that we would never see Jack make it past the age of 7. we kind of just lived life every day like it was Jack's last.
On April 6th, 2013, Jack is 7 years old, and he gets a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. What does Jack get to do?
Jack is not aware of what he's going to be asked to do until literally the night before when Andy gets a phone call saying, you know, we had this idea for Jack.
That right there, number 22, one of the biggest Nebraska football fans. And how about this? He gets to walk out with the team and take a snap. This is really quite a moment for this young man.
He has the Rex Burkhead jersey he's always had, and they find some pants and they get them all together. And so eventually he makes it to the sideline of the intra-squad red and white game that Nebraska plays every year. And that's when he really understands he's going to be given the ball and be asked to run for a touchdown. Taylor Martinez, the quarterback, is kind of illustrating how he's going to get the ball and where he's going to go. And Andy, his father's big concern is...
I just grabbed Taylor just for a brief moment. And I said, be prepared for him to go the wrong way.
Handoff. It is Hoffman running laterally. He's got a puller to the 35. Hoffman to midfield. Hoffman second level.
He's got another gear.
They are not going to catch him. Jack Hoffman to the end zone. Husker touchdown.
Tell me what's going through your head when you get the ball. What are you thinking about?
Scoring a touchdown.
The video of Jack doing all of that, running for a touchdown, this becomes a viral moment in the most extreme way. He ends up meeting President Obama, he goes to the ESPYs, and along the way, Andy, his dad, he tries his best to create awareness for pediatric cancer.
Well, it's really something, you know, often going through something like this motivates families to want to do something, not just for themselves, but for families who they know will go through the same thing that they've gone through. Mm. And that was very much Andy Hoffman's situation. As he and Jack kind of enjoyed the understandable attention that this amazing video provided them, Andy really started making it a point to highlight the need for more research into pediatric brain cancer, more treatments, more opportunities for young people to get drug trials and things that would enable them to live better, longer lives. And this became a real cause for him.
Right. They even set up a foundation called the Team Jack Foundation to help raise money for research into pediatric brain cancer.
When I was there in 2013, they took me downstairs into their basement and I saw all these t-shirts that had the Cornhusker logo on them and that had been printed kind of in concert with the Cornhusker people, and they were going to try to raise some money selling those t-shirts. And you thought, this is great. This is wonderful. This is, you know, a nice way to kind of pay it forward a little bit. They raised $8 million. Team Jack raised $8 million. I mean, this is this small town in Nebraska. Nobody has a lot of connections. Nobody is hobnobbing. This is Andy Hoffman going to work and raising $8 million for pediatric brain cancer research. It's really astonishing.
I want to fast forward, Chris, to 2020 now, because Jack is a teenager. Doctors have successfully been able to treat his tumor where it has so far refrained from growing, and Jack wants to try something he never thought would even be possible. What is he trying to do?
He wants to play varsity high school football, which is amazing. But he's played around the playground and he's played two-hand touch and stuff. And Jack feels like he'd like to play football, varsity football. The Hoffmans go to Jack's doctors and say, well, what do you think? And they give him the okay.
But this past summer, a few days now before Jack's first football practice, the Hoffman family, they receive more bad news. What happens?
Andy, Jack's dad, goes out for a run. And while he's on the run, he falls to the ground on the trail that he typically takes. He's able to use the cell phone to call his wife and to say, I think I'm having a seizure. she gets in the car and goes and picks him up and brings Andy to the same facility that Jack had been brought to back in 2011, where he is examined by the same physician's assistant that examined Jack back then. The physician's assistant who was there for Jack those many years ago looks at the Hoffmans and says, "You've got to stop doing this to me." Andy Hoffman has a brain tumor.
All right, coming up. The Hoffman family faces another unspeakable tragedy, while Jack Hoffman pursues a dream once thought impossible.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Chris, it's July 2020 now, and 41-year-old Andy Hoffman has been diagnosed with glioblastoma multiforme in his brain, the most aggressive form of cancer that we know of. It is terminal. And it comes after years of caring for Jack, his son, who has been fighting brain cancer since the age of 5. So what was the family's reaction to Andy's diagnosis?
Bree Hoffman is one of the strongest people I think anyone will ever meet. Bree Hoffman's ability to hold it together in crisis is simply remarkable. And so we hear this news and we imagine how shattering it was. Andy says that before he went into the hospital for treatment, he made sure to gather his children around him so that they could hear from him what happened. And I guess we can only imagine what the emotions in that room must have been. And then, you know, Andy went into the Mayo Clinic for the treatment that they could provide him.
Mr. Hoffman has a terminal brain tumor. We've been very frank with him that this is a very aggressive tumor that at this point our medical community, despite many years of research, has not been able to cure. The average for this type of tumor is 12 to 15 months of survival.
Every case is different, but it is a terminal diagnosis, and that's hard for everyone who cares about Andy Hoffman to hear.
And just because it is so overwhelming and tragic, I do want to ask and clarify this part here, Chris. Did doctors say whether there is any link between Jack and Andy's brain tumors?
As you might imagine, the Hoffman family was concerned that there might be some sort of link. And according to the doctor we spoke to at the Mayo Clinic, there is no connection, no genetic connection between the tumor that Jack Hoffman has and the tumor that Andy Hoffman has.
So how did doctors begin to treat Andy's tumor?
His condition was deteriorating as he got to the clinic. Andy would later say that he felt he was practically in a vegetative state. He'd had a couple of small strokes and then a spontaneous bleed on the side of his brain. And so he then had surgery. And because of the COVID protocols, they were not able to be with him at the hospital. What happens is that Andy wants to be with his family. So Andy checks himself out of the Mayo Clinic and moves into an apartment that the family gets near the Mayo Clinic, so that he can spend time with his family, and so gets radiation and chemotherapy as an outpatient.
Who cares for him at this home that they have uprooted the family and moved into to care for Andy?
Well, now, you know, Andy, who has done so much, you know, in the last 9 years for Jack, now it's Jack helping to take care of Andy.
His brain couldn't send the signals to tell us that he had to go to the bathroom or was thirsty. So we had to ask him quite a bit, and if he had to, then he would nod his head and my mom and I would take him.
He got right in there and pitched in and helped out. I think Bree felt concerned that maybe she was asking too much of her son.
so hard as a kid that age, you know, having to take care of your dad, but he was always very patient. And, you know, if Andy got frustrated, he would encourage him. And he was very, you know, mature beyond his years, that's for sure.
The situation was reversed after all those years of Andy looking after Jack. Now it was Jack looking after his dad.
How did Andy feel about that dynamic, about Jack now being the one to take care of him?
Well, I think you can imagine it left him, you know, deeply moved, and it had a very powerful effect on him.
He would give encouraging words of support that no junior high kid should have to give.
So now Andy has one milestone he desperately wants to reach, Chris. What is that?
Well, it's something that at any number of points in the journey might have seemed completely impossible, just totally beyond reach. But now Andy wants to see his son Jack play high school varsity football. He would like to see Jack playing football at the homecoming game.
Okay, up next, Jack takes the field and gives the Hoffman family a moment they will never forget.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Chris, this fall at the start of the school year, Jack Hoffman, 14 years old, returns from Rochester, Minnesota, where he was visiting Andy, his dad, for the summer. He goes back to Atkinson, Nebraska for the high school football season that he's been looking forward to. What was the state of Jack's brain tumor at this point, and how did it affect his ability to play football?
Jack's brain tumor has been under control relatively successfully for the last several years. But recently, Jack has been experiencing an increase in some of the seizures that he has as a result. And some of those seizures have started to take place while he's on the field. But it's not going to stop him from playing.
It sucked really bad. It's like falling asleep and putting your body on autopilot. And I don't remember what happened a minute before or after. There are times it says, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to keep doing it.
You know, we'll say, I'm sorry, you had a seizure today, Jack. And he'll be like, it's not your fault. He was still excited to play and still willing to take the risk. And so we let him.
What's so hard also is that Jack is now 400 miles away, Chris, from Andy, who is fighting his brain cancer back in Minnesota. Jack is trying to complete his goal of playing varsity high school football. So how did the two encourage each other while having to remain so far apart?
It's a poignant thought, isn't it, that 400 miles separated, each one of these people is fighting his own battle. Andy is fighting to be able to come home and to continue his treatment back home in Atkinson. And Jack is fighting to get to play varsity for the first time and dealing with his own occasional issues with seizures and things like that. So they're almost in parallel working on battling the brain tumors that have colored their lives to the degree that they have. Andy is, you know, someone who is, you know, he does not back away from using the battle metaphor when it comes to illness.
We put on our work boots and we got to work. You know, so what you do with this disease, you just battle.
So in September, Jack was finally able to return home to Atkinson after being treated at the Mayo Clinic. What did the staff there say about his progress?
when he left the Mayo Clinic and came back to Atkinson, he had really surprised a lot of the people who had treated him there. You know, we spoke with his oncologist, and she said that the people at the Mayo Clinic were in tears as Andy left.
He has had a remarkable response to treatment. And by the time he left, he had the whole staff in tears because he walked out on his own and was saying goodbye and waving to everybody.
Hold on.
I'm going to ring the hell out of it.
Perfect.
Andy, they felt, was in like the top 10% of the people who had responded to the treatment they'd been able to provide. And so he walked out of the Mayo Clinic. Mm. You know, it's really remarkable, and came home.
So just a week after returning home, it's homecoming night. For the Huskies of West Holt High School in Atkinson, it's a Friday night under the lights, exactly as Jack might have dreamed. What happens?
Well, the whole family is there, you know, masked and separated, as you might imagine, and they get to watch Jack Hoffman play varsity football. He's on the kickoff team, plays a little on defense.
He puts on the helmet and shoulder pads, knowing that he could have a seizure. He does it anyway. I think he's so just brave and courageous. He's my hero.
Come on, Jack.
Football is really important to Andy, and it was really special that Jack even got to play. I mean, we didn't know if they would even clear him to play.
What a remarkable moment for this family. A moment that would have been unimaginable at any number of points in their journey, to be able to see Jack Hoffman playing varsity football, for Andy Hoffman to be there with his family watching that, it's just an astonishing moment, really.
What's it like to have him be in the stands watching while you play football?
It's nice to know that he'll be there for me and he knows that I'll be there for him.
Chris, when you step back and you think about the journey this family has been on, what goes through your mind?
I'm amazed at their resilience and their positive spirit and the way that they took their concerns and looked out for others who are in the same situation. You know, I think anyone who had gone through what Andy and Jack Hoffman went through from 2011 to 2013 would be totally justified in taking care of their own garden, so to speak. And Andy Hoffman decided that other families in his family situation shouldn't have to suffer as he did. And somehow, through the dint of his own persuasiveness and his belief in the importance of his mission, he and the Team Jack Foundation raised $8 million for pediatric brain cancer research, giving hope and new possibilities to so many kids. We're going through the same thing that Jack did. It certainly seems like cruel irony now that Andy is facing brain cancer as well. But as he himself has said, it's like I asked for this. I asked so many times that God give me the tumor that Jack had instead of him.
I prayed quite literally for this to happen in lieu of Jack. I kind of got what I asked for, you know.
That's what has happened. But I think one of the things that impresses me most about the Hoffman family is that they can find moments to celebrate even amid their enormous challenges. You know, like when I asked Andy, if I had told you in 2013, you're going to see your son play high school varsity football, what would you have said? And he responded with an expletive.
I'd have said you're full of shit. Sorry.
Amazing things have happened for the Hoffman family, as they will tell you. And you just sort of step back in wonder and admiration at their spirit and their indomitability in the face of all the challenges that have been thrown at them.
Chris Connolly, thank you for sharing this family's story with us on ESPN Daily.
Thank you for asking, Pablo.
A quick postscript. Andy Hoffman continues his fight, but like millions of cancer patients, his future remains uncertain. It speaks to what V-Week is all about at ESPN. If you're able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes to cancer research. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.